Welcome to The Omnibus Show, a programme for people who are interested in everything, with deep conversations on a wide variety of subjects. And now, your host, Dave Gibbs.
Hello, and welcome to this episode of The Omnibus Show, the programme for people who are interested in everything, with deep conversations on a wide variety of subjects. Today's guest is Dan Kelleher. Dan is a hydrogeologist and the co-founder of Midwest Geosciences Group, which was formed to help consultants prepare accurate and complete soil boring logs. He's an earth scientist. Dan is recognized for his technical expertise in quantitative hydrogeology and porous and fractured media. Welcome, Dan. It's great having you.
Thank you, David.
It's great having you here today. Although today's conversation on Earth Sciences is going to be focused on the upcoming solar eclipse, which will be here. We're going to be in the spread of where that will be happening. So we will have a total eclipse here. And that hasn't happened in 400 years, about 400 years, correct? Now, I've got two quick questions for that. I'm going to let you take it away. What makes this unique? And what can we expect?
Yeah, great questions. What makes it unique is there are certain things throughout history that affect us and our memories, but it isn't just a historical event. It will probably affect each one of us differently from an emotional point of view, because what makes these total solar eclipse unique is when the nighttime comes during the day, it will change nature. For example, the birds will stop chirping. What takes place at night will have a very abrupt beginning when the shadow enters our area, and it will stop when the shadow leaves our area. And so for that change in nature, when that happens, It has an emotional effect on us.
An actual physical reaction that happens with that. Whatever's going on physically between the sun and the moon and the earth.
Somehow, it does affect us, and we experience it all differently in that way. And that's one reason. It isn't just a historical event, but it affects us, all of us, in different ways and emotionally. And what can we expect with it? Well, this is, for me, I think is very interesting. The shadow of the moon is going to move across North America. Mm-hmm. And that pure shadow, we call that the umbra, right? And that umbra is a circle. That's the shadow of the moon that crosses, it will cross central Indiana. Hmm. And the diameter of that shadow is 115 miles distance. And here in Carmel, it's only going to last for about 3.5 minutes. So 3.5 minutes, we're going to be in total darkness through the umbra. That's 115 miles in diameter, right? So the question is, how fast is that moving? So you can calculate that. So if you're so inclined or you want to give this assignment to your kids,
we'll need a calculator.
Right, but you can find the answer online at our website, Midwest Geosciences Group. We've done the calculation for you, so you could give this assignment to your kids or do it yourself. You can go to MidwestGeo.com and then step through the very simple steps to figure out what's the velocity of the shadow across Indiana.
Fabulous. We'll put that link in the description notes for the show. That is just really fascinating. So then we'll be able to figure out what the time length is that. Now, the umbra is like a swatch of land. Where are we? We're looking at maybe Texas, and then across to the northeast up into Canada, right?
That's right. The umbra is a line of where the shadow progresses. It will enter into the United States around Texas.
For a total eclipse.
For a total solar eclipse.
Because other people see partial.
That's right, and that's called the pre-umbra, right? We experienced that several years ago here in Carmel. We had a 90% partial eclipse.
Yes.
Right? So I remember meeting some kids out at the library, the Carmel Library. We had cereal boxes and shoe boxes with a pinpoint hole in one end,
right.
And you could see the reflection of it. And you could still do that on this one. Mm-hmm. And you'll be able to see when the moon moves in front of the sun and watch it completely progress.
Well, that is absolutely fascinating. And then that will be in that progression as the sun moves, correct? That's why that swath is going to go in a northeasterly direction.
Exactly right.
Or is it going southwest? Well, because the sun...
From the southwest to the northeast.
Okay.
You got it right.
Because the moon... Yeah, you're the science man, so you can tell us all of these things. So this hasn't happened in about 400 years for here.
That's right.
You said the previous one was in Kentucky and along the line, but wasn't the umbra in a different direction? It was like the opposite, was northwest to southeast?
Very good, exactly right. That was traveling from the southeast United States across the United States up into to the northwest.
Okay.
So between that total solar eclipse and this total solar eclipse, if you map them, they will look sort of like an X.
Okay.
Going total different
directions. Sure. That's very fascinating. Now, we know that moon has certain effects on the Earth. And can you tell us about... Would that be anything extraordinary, like on the coasts? Would that cause anything? I will leave that to you because that's your province.
Well, it's a great question, very thoughtful, because the moon has an effect every day, all the time on the Earth. The moon is about 228,000 miles away. Mm-hmm. It has a gravitational pull on the Earth. And we see the effect of that in our oceans. And we call those the tides, the tidal effect that we see on the coasts, tide in and tide out. So when it comes to an eclipse, there's nothing spectacular with respect to the gravitational pull. It just happens to be, the moon happens to be moving in front of the sun.
Mm-hmm.
So we have this awesome, super spectacular experience of the shadow. But the gravitational effect always remains the same, even if on us right now, David, as we sit here.
Mm-hmm.
You bet.
That's fascinating. That's always fascinated me, but it's I'm not a scientist, so it's just like I ask the questions. But that is so fascinating. Well, thank you so much, Dan. Well, we're going to take a brief break right now, and we'll be back for Chapter 2 with Dan Kelleher on The Omnibus Show.
Stay tuned for more of our program about the April 8, 2024 total solar eclipse. And now, back to The Omnibus Show.
Hello, and welcome back to Chapter 2 of The Omnibus Show. Today we're speaking with Dan Kelleher. He's an earth scientist, and he's talking with us today about the upcoming solar eclipse. And, gosh, there's so many questions I could ask you, Dan, but... it's so fascinating what you're talking about. But on the day, which is next week, can you tell us on Monday what we should expect for those of us who are in the umbra, as you say?
Yeah. Thank you for asking, because despite all the activities and the festivities that are going to happen throughout the day, the major event, the astronomical moment, mm-hmm. here in Carmel begins about 1:30 p.m.
Okay.
So that's what happens then, is when the moon begins to come in front of the sun.
Mm.
Okay. So we call that moment the preumbra. From 1:30 to about 3 p.m. is when the time it takes for the moon to cross in front of the sun. And then at 3 p.m., for only 3.5 minutes,
wow.
There'll be total darkness because the moon will completely cover the sun. And that's when you want to make sure that you have your total solar eclipse glasses or your total solar binoculars.
If you look into the sun.
That's right. If you're going to look, you don't look through with your naked eye ever.
Okay.
Use authorized solar eclipse glasses.
Okay.
Because the visual of the solar eclipse, the total solar eclipse, will will be phenomenal because of the corona rays that come off of it. It'll be so many things to look at.
Interesting.
And then around 4 o'clock, the moon will disappear, be finished. So it'll pass by the sun.
Well, that'll be fascinating. But that will just be ongoing over the swath of land at the different locations during the day. But this is a question: is on the other side of the Earth, will they have that? They don't have that, do they? It's just across North America for this particular solar eclipse.
That's right. The circle of the shadow will be crossing the United States from Texas up through New York up to Nova Scotia, Canada.
So as the other side, which would be where? It would be somewhere in maybe Central Asia, perhaps?
That's right, northern China or Mongolia.
Yeah, and they would have probably just a sliver of the eclipse on that side.
I can't remark about that, David.
Okay.
I just don't know for sure.
That's fine.
I didn't do my homework.
I can live with a suspension because it's going to happen here. But that's good to know because, say, if somebody's watching on the other side of the Earth, it's like, you know, where, how much of the sun are we going to have eclipsed?
But, you know, in China or Mongolia or anywhere around the world where they have access to the internet, they will be able to see what it looks like here in Carmel.
Okay.
Because Midwest Geosciences Group, we're going to have a telescope that will broadcast live streaming.
That's fascinating.
Through the city's website.
Okay.
To where anybody can see it from anywhere online.
So I don't have to look at the sun for 3.5 minutes.
Well, that's one of the reasons we built this system.
Yeah.
It was because I prefer not to use solar glasses. I'd rather look at it on a screen, mostly
sure.
for safety's sake.
Of course, that makes perfect sense. And that's what you'd recommend to families with the kids. And because the tendency is like, oh, look up and look at that. And it's like, all of a sudden, where'd my eyes go? Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. But what's fascinating is, but first, before I go to your telescope, is can you tell us about the planets? And you will have pictures of that, of what is the sun looks like, what is the multi pictures of what as the moon crosses the sun. Can you tell us a little narrative of that?
Sure. There is a progression of steps. It's a continuous line of when the moon crosses in front of the sun to the point where the sun is totally gone and eclipsed. And that's where the shadow, the umbra, is capturing wherever you're seeing or looking at the sun at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And then it disappears. It continues on. And the progression of the moon will disappear out in front of the sun, right? So then the sun will reappear in its full glory.
Fabulous. And then we'll, with now I'm going to talk about or ask you about your telescope, but that will be great to see pictures on the site. We'll also put that in the description notes, your link for the live coverage of the solar eclipse.
Thank you for doing that.
Yeah.
We can help a lot of people experience the eclipse, especially for those people who cannot get outside or not in our locale.
Yeah, no, that's great. It's both very fun, very educational, and it's an historical moment.
And we'll record it as well.
Yeah.
So we can watch it days later,
years
later.
Oh, that would be good because some people may be at work or something that they won't be able to see it at 3 o'clock. Now, you have, I always remember as a kid, telescopes. I had one of my friends down the street, but he had a fixed telescope. But you have a dynamic telescope. Can you tell us about it, which will be recording this event?
That's right. Technology's changed a lot. And when you and I grew up, we had traditional telescopes where you look through the eyepiece and you could see the deep space objects or planets or whatever. We never looked through the sun because that would damage your eyes. So
sure.
You don't look through a telescope at the sun ever. But technology today has allowed what we call smart telescopes. And they just hit the scene late last summer. Okay? So they're the first generation smart telescopes. And what makes this telescope so unique that we're going to use for this total solar eclipse is works off an iPad and not an eyepiece. Okay, so I will have controls on my iPad, and it will start it up. I'll press a button, and it will automatically, it automatically knows where it is on Earth. So it can find whatever deep space object it wants to see. And in this case, on April 8th, just press the button and it will automatically find the sun. But not just find the sun. What makes it different from the old traditional telescopes, and I shouldn't say old traditional telescopes because they're still priceless tools today.
Sure.
But traditional telescopes, once you're locked into that object, then you have to tweak it to follow along because of the rotation of the Earth.
Right.
And the smart telescopes today, once it's locked in, it stays locked in. There's no tweaking.
It just stays with the object.
That's right.
That's interesting. So is it, if you can bring in the technology on it, would that have a software program that is sort of, it has a like a 360 or a three-dimensional sort of a universal type of tracking system for doing that?
Yes. Many iPhones have apps today where at nighttime where you can point your iPhone in the sky and it will tell you what you're looking at. Mm-hmm. That's the same sort of firmware that's in this software.
That's in the software.
But what makes what makes this telescope very unique, as I am proud to say, Midwest Geosciences Group reached out to a team of IT professionals, and we were able to look inside the firmware. Because it's a first-generation telescope, there's a lot of restrictions where it did not work outside that iPad. But the team of IT professionals was able to figure out a way to link the firmware to a laptop to make it live stream. Because otherwise, it wasn't easy. It wasn't really impossible. So thanks to this team of people, Midwest Geosciences Group will be able to live stream it, where other live streams that will occur will be happening with a traditional telescope.
Sure.
Probably not
a
smart
telescope.
It'll just
be fixed, and then it'll have to adjust.
Exactly right.
Accordingly. That's fascinating. Is that one of those that only scientists can get? I was going to say, if there was one out there, it's probably pretty pricey, but if there are scientists in the viewership, we could put the link up for that particular unit. And if they're interested.
The brand name and the model is called C-Star S50.
C-Star S50.
That's right.
Okay.
And they're available, but right now I can tell you they're all sold out.
Okay.
Where I got this telescope was from an astronomer. He's a professional astronomer in Norman, Oklahoma.
Okay.
He was the one, because I've been working on this for over a year about how to bring this image to Carmel for the eclipse. And there's been a lot of trial and error. And the reflection with the pinpoint mirror through the pinpoint box and all these things, they weren't practical. But once this astronomer said, he recommended, use the smart telescope, and then I worked with the IT professionals. So I'm so proud of it, Midwest Geosciences Group, for doing that. And we achieved the goal to be able to broadcast the live image in a scale that everybody can see it on site at City Hall during the eclipse, but also then stream it live on the internet.
Okay.
I'm very proud of our team of doing that.
Fabulous, because it's an historical moment, and you're able to actually record it live and have an incredible instrument that can follow it.
That's right.
Which is really incredible. So, Dan, can you tell us about the day? And you've got events coming up before and after that. Can you share that with our audience?
Yes.
But starting with here in Carmel.
Right. At City Hall, at Civic Square, where the gazebo is, at 10 o'clock in the morning, the festivities will begin.
Okay.
There is
moon cakes, I reckon. Moon beer.
There could be. But there'll be music, there'll be experts. Tom Sale from Colorado State University will be on site with some other folks from City of Carmel, and they'll help people prepare.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I think in order to maximize the experience, having that little bit of preparation will really maximize the experience and help people get the very most out of it. Mm-hmm. And that part to me is priceless.
Gotcha. Well, do you know, will people be able to get those lunar glasses there, or should they bring them? Should they find some place?
I would tell you where to go to get them. At All Things Carmel store on Main Street in Carmel, Indiana has them
on Main
available.
Street. They have those.
Yes, they do right now.
They'll be sold out shortly.
Probably will.
Yeah, I'm sure they are. Well, thank you for that. And then you have some events before and after.
Midwest Geosciences Group is hosting a lecture series at the Carmel Clay Public Library. Mm-hmm. And I am so thrilled that we're going to be able to have Tom Sale, who's coming early to the event for this lecture series. And he's going to talk about deep space objects, celestial bodies, and help us prepare for the eclipse. Hmm. Then we have Donna Jurdy. She's a planetary Earth scientist. She studies geology, so to speak, on other planets from Northwestern University. She's going to be talking about the possibility of life on other planets, because that's her niche. That's her expertise, is looking at the search for extraterrestrial intelligence in outer space. She is one of the experts on the subject.
And then I know they were looking for water on Mars, weren't they? But they came up disappointed on that. But they still have the module, the little rover or whatever, still going around, don't they?
That's right. Dragonfly is still happening.
It's still happening on Martian. On the Martian planet.
That's right, the red soil.
That is fascinating. And then after that,
Midwest Geosciences Group has invited people to come to Carmel for a special Midwest Geosciences Group event. It's a training event for groundwater professionals. It's going to be at the Palladium, the Center of Performing Arts, in the Robert Adams Room. It's a ticketed event on Tuesday and Wednesday, April 9th and 10th. And I'm proud to tell you right now, we're almost sold out already.
Okay.
But there are people coming from six different countries for this training event sponsored by Midwest Geo. So we're killing two birds with one stone, and that's not really a geology pun, okay?
Correct. I gotcha. No. But that's fascinating that you'll be able to bring in all these international scientists who they can tell you about what they're experiencing where they live, and there's some differences. And I'm sure you've got some geology questions for those people.
Oh, you bet.
Yeah, because
it's a dialogue with professionals where we all learn from each other.
Yes, and then we'll put those links up as well in the description.
Thank you.
Notes. And anything else on this solar eclipse?
The telescope will not only see the sun, but the resolution of the image will allow us to see sunspots and sun flares. And looking at that image with your solar glasses on, you may or may not be able to see it. But if you come to City Hall, Civic Square, look at the gazebo and see this monitor we have, you'll be able to see that live, even before and after the eclipse event.
That's fascinating. Now, I know a little bit about flares, but not very much. Can you tell us, if we see flares, what kind of effect, what does it have on our, let's say solar system, but I mean directly on Earth?
Some solar flares, if they're large enough and they occur with a certain kind of physics, with the fusion that occurs at the center of the sun, when the energy and those electrons and other solar particles, the solar wind, hits the outer atmosphere of the Earth, that is what creates the northern lights, all right? So when we see solar flares and sunspots that are large scale on the sun, that's when astronomers put out the alerts, hey, we're going to have an effect, because it can also affect radio waves and TV waves.
I was going to say, what you usually hear in the news or people who talk about this is they're concerned about, like, the power grids.
That's right.
Yeah, and again, that's beyond my province, is like the radio waves and how that affects, that would like affect our communication systems and things like that.
It does, sometimes.
Yeah, so that'd be interesting. And so that, I suppose you'll be talking about the flares to the people if you see flares coming up on the visual.
Dr. Tom Sale from Colorado State University is truly an expert on this, and he will be on site.
Okay.
At City Hall.
He will be hosting
the true expertise on this.
Okay. Well, that will be fascinating. As I said, we'll put all these links up in the description notes, and we'll distinguish which is which. And so, thank you, Dan, for speaking with us today about the upcoming solar eclipse here in Carmel and along the Umbra in North America. And we sure look forward to that, and we look forward to your event with the city next week, as this will be next Monday. Well, that's it for today's episode of the Omnibus Show. Today we've been talking with Earth scientist Dan Kelleher. We'd like to thank our sponsor, Hotel Carmichael. We are shooting today at Feinstein's. We look forward to being with you on the next episode of The Omnibus Show.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Omnibus Show. If you enjoyed this program, please like, share, and subscribe to continue the conversation. For The Omnibus Show newsletter, please sign up at theomnibusshow.com.